Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, the home of the 2015 NL East champions, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week to celebrate, we're in a celebratory, revelatory mood on Amazing Avenue Audio, is Steve Sippa. Steve, in September of 2007, Willie Randolph had this to say about his team's poor performance. "I've been there many times, and this all feels very normal to me. Very much like what a pennant race should be. My players are feeling it too, and this will be a good experience for them. When we sip a little champagne later on, it'll be a little sweeter." Steve Sippa, 8 years on, how did the champagne taste to you?
It tastes really good because it's chilled in the frozen tears of Bryce Harper.
So actually, Saturday I went into the city to watch Sheffield Wednesday against Brentford. Watch Wednesday win on a 90th minute goal from Portuguese wonderkind Lucas Joao. Didn't drink much. Needed to hustle back into Connecticut to watch the game here. I knew if I stayed in the city at Foley's or something, it would just be an utter shit show. Driving back, stopped at the liquor store. I'm like, you know, I don't even like champagne. I'm not a big champagne guy. I don't mind sparkling wine, but something about the either the sweet stuff or the dry stuff doesn't do it for me. And they had Prosecco there too. I'm like, oh, I can just get Prosecco. I'm an Italian. I like Prosecco. But then I realized, no, I gotta do it for Willie. I gotta get some champagne. I gotta put it on ice. Because Willie was right. It did taste a little bit sweeter. It's actually a very dry Hudson Valley champagne that I don't like. So I'm just making French 75s with it all week. All week. It's Monday. I've had like four French 75s. So get a bottle out of my house.
It gets the job done.
It does. It did. It was nice. It's nice. It's nice. There's no other way to say it. You know, it's been 9 years since the team was in the playoffs, 9 years since they won the NL East. It's just, you know, there's no words. When you kind of like, I just sat there watching like an hour of the post-game celebration on Saturday as my wife got more and more annoyed that we were just watching people spray champagne on each other and that nothing else was really happening. But just all of it's like, you just want to take it in. Because it happens so infrequently, even for good teams. You know, teams that are even historically better than the Mets. It doesn't happen that often. I think you got to revel in it a little bit.
Unless you're the 90s Braves.
Unless you're the 90s Braves.
But you know what? Fuck the 90s Braves.
Yeah, but I can get behind that as well. This episode 141 of Amazing Avenue Audio. Yeah, we're gonna revel in it. There's no agenda. We have a few emails to answer later. But I just want to... So last week on the show, I was very clear. There's nothing to be worried about here. You know, this team is good. The Nationals are not good. As we have seen, the Nationals have some problems right now. On a number of levels, baseball and otherwise. You know, this was not going to be a 2007. This was not going to be a 2008. And it wasn't. But if I can be honest with you for a moment, Steve, and listeners, for the past 2 weeks, about every other night, I was dreaming the Mets blew it somehow. I would wake up from a dream where the Mets had somehow blown the NL East. Because that's just where your mind, subconsciously, that's always going to be there until this happened. And what I said at Pitch Talks about sort of curing the Mets fan psyche was very much kind of like a physician heal thyself kind of situation on one level. And I said it again last week about settling all family debts. Well, they're settled now. And look, you know, this team might go into a series with the Dodgers and just get swept off the map. You know, Kershaw and Greinke might throw two, you know, complete game shutouts. And then some weird shit will happen with Brett Anderson or something. I don't know. This could happen. But I want to preface our discussion with this. No matter what happens from here on out, this season was a success.
Absolutely.
The season was great. It was enjoyable, mostly, from start to finish. May and June, well, you know, you got to sort of level set. to remind yourself what the bad times feel like. You know, whether it's Eric Campbell playing left field for 14 innings or John Mayberry batting cleanup against Clayton Kershaw or any of the other fun things that happened.
On paper, one of those two things makes sense.
Okay, fair enough. We're really going to spend this revelatory podcast defending John Mayberry Jr. Is that how we want to spend our time, Steve?
No, I'm sorry.
But I think
we have another swig of this.
The world has changed. We have all these extra playoff rounds now. So it does feel like, you know, if they go one and done, it's like, oh, well, there are still other teams playing, so this wasn't really a successful season. This was a successful season. This was a fun team to watch.
Honestly, if they just ended the year at 500, I would have said that's an extremely successful season. I mean, this is just icing on the cake.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
All right, well, I'm just saying. Again, I was very pessimistic coming to the season.
You were, yeah. So that would have been a couple of games ahead of your season prediction.
Right, but I mean, anything, you know, a couple of games over 500 would have been like, wow, it's pretty good that we actually made the playoffs with a little bit of time to spare. Mm-hmm. We could set our rotation up. We could set, you know, give guys some rest. We're not like rushing into the playoffs. You know, we have the luxury of time.
You know, that's how we sort of, I think, said over and over again. Or actually, I think it was Gary. You know, the marathon is over. Now it's time for the sprint. And in a five-game series, anything can happen. Look, the Mets could win the fucking World Series. In which case, I will be doing this again, just drunker.
Is what will podcast happen. Live at the Tick-to-Tape Parade.
Yeah. But I don't think we want to lose sight of just how cool this season was and this team was. And we'll get into the playoff preview stuff, you know, a little bit this week and certainly next week. But just sort of reflecting now, what was your favorite, some of your favorite moments from this season to date?
The debuts of Syndergaard and Mats. As, you know, as guys that have been following their careers in the minor leagues for a couple of years now, you know, it's special. It's a nice feeling to be like, wow, this guy finally made it. David Wright's return and, you know, his home run in his first at bat against Philadelphia. Wilmer Flores' walk-off in that game, that 12-inning game, which I was actually at, and I had to leave early because I had work the next morning.
It's false hustle.
I know, man.
Lacking vision.
There's a bunch of, like you said earlier, it was just a fun season. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of good, happy, fun moments with this team.
I think I said it before on the podcast, but sort of the moment where I really bought in, just sort of wholesale, that this was actually possibly going to happen, was the Sunday night game against Washington at City going for the sweep. And you know, I talked a little bit about it with Joe Sheehan when he was on, because he was there too. And we really didn't get into as much as I would have liked. Just the atmosphere at the ballpark was... And I never... Maybe I just didn't go to the right games at Shea down the stretch and got sort of the full playoff atmosphere. But it was the most sort of uplifting experience for me as a Mets fan. I think there's really something to sort of like, you know, the idea of baseball as, or can be, a religious experience.
Right.
Well, I'm not a particularly religious